but the message is in John 4. We've been spending some time with the woman at the well, and this time we get to see a little bit more of the story. And I really like what happens here. And we're also going to skip over to Galatians as well, in Galatians 4. We're going to do both. But we're going to start in John 4, and we are looking, moving forward to this verse that the woman has been conversing with Jesus at the well, and the verses that we're looking at today are words of testimony. And you're going to see what I mean by that. By the way, I may make mention that the title of the message is Two Things to Know About God's Call. It used to be one thing, but this morning it became two things to know about God's call on our lives. We look at verse 28, beginning in John 4, and we're going to move through some different verses here that I will share with you as we skip to them, but we begin at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And we skip down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they saw him that he was tarrying with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Thou I believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And we skip down to verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Let's ask God to bless you together in a word of prayer for the message and his word to come forth that we would be receptive to what he has for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you have considered us, have loved us, and known us. Thank you that the recalling that you placed upon us is irreversible. That it continues to go forth, and they keep getting ministered unto with the wooing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring us to the place where we'll accept what you have for us. For we know that as you work on us, Lord, you're moving us to advance your kingdom. Sometimes we're hesitant, Lord. And sometimes we're just not sure that we're the right candidate for the job that you've called us to do. And sometimes it seems like a bigger task and challenges us more than we're able to comprehend. But Lord, this morning I ask that you give us your vision and your heart and your love. And your wisdom, that we would bring you glory, honor, and increase the sheep of your pasture, as you will us to do. These things I ask in the name of Jesus, that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. This story is very, very interesting when you look at it. Some people say this is the same story as Cornelius, related to it elsewhere. But in that story, the man hears that his son is dead. But we still have a very similar comparison to that story because the man is from the same place. And he's a nobleman. He's a ruler. But this is the second miracle that Jesus does, is heal this man's son. And I want to share with you a couple of things about that before we look at what's going on here. First of all, he comes down from Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, about 12 to 15 miles, which is considered about 2 days' journey, over to Cana, because he hears Jesus is there. He knows who Jesus is. He's asking Jesus to come and heal his son, who is sick in Capernaum, and Jesus, for the sake of a crowd gathered around him, and what he's beginning to do is he teaches, can't get there very quick. And this man keeps asking him to come. And finally, he says, please come down. And Jesus says to him, go your way, your son will live. He's alive. Now what we see is the next day, the man needs his servant as he's going back to Capernaum. And the servant is coming from Capernaum, so they meet in the middle on the road from Canaan to Capernaum. And he says, your son's alive. You don't have to trouble the teacher anymore. And the man gets back to his home and keeps his son alive. And he asks, what time did he start getting better? And he said, it was the seventh hour. And it was the same hour that Jesus told him he would be alive. And so the man believed, him and his whole household, because his son lived and came alive when Jesus said. Now listen to this very carefully. In this passage we have three sets of people. And we are one of the three. Somewhere along the way, we are one of the three. And you're going to see what I mean. First of all, we have the people who are in Sychar, where the well is, where the woman is, where Jesus. She leaves Jesus at her learning that he's the Messiah and goes into town to the men there. And she begins to tell them that this man told me all that I ever did. I think he's the Messiah, the Christ. And it says that some of the men believed her and believed in Jesus because of what she said. Later it says they came and asked Jesus to stay 2 days, and others said, we believe because of what Jesus said, but not what you said. Okay? First of all, we get someone from the testimony of what Jesus has done to them. Some people were reached that way. Others had to hear directly from Jesus. Now let's look at this. The same people heard her testimony, but not everybody believed her. Some of them who believed her now went to Jesus to get his teaching. Right? And yet others that went, that did not believe or wanted to, went and heard Jesus, and they believed Jesus, and believed in him because of what he did. They had to hear from the source. Okay? So far we have two different kinds of people. One who can receive a testimony of somebody else about Jesus and receive it, and someone else, the second type of people, who have to hear it directly from Jesus or they would not believe. There's people who are more receptive to your testimony than others. We hear Jesus in different ways. Each person hears in different ways. The third type of person is in the man whose son is about to die. And Jesus speaks and singles him out. This is where it began to clue me in about the third type of people. That's when I saw the other two. Because it says, Jesus says to this man, except you, not everybody, but you, the nobleman who has come. He gave him no name, but he says, unless you search these signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Unless you see these signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. He said, I can tell you all this, but you're not going to believe me. And I can give you testimony of another lady or some other man in my disciples, but you won't believe them either. Unless you see it, you won't believe. So apparently, I'm going to have to show you. And so Jesus said, go your way, back to your son, he will live. And it says, the man believed that word. Careful here. Don't say, well, he believed Jesus and in Jesus. He didn't say that. It says he believed what Jesus said was true, that the man would live. It does not say that he would believe on Jesus. It says the man believed what Jesus said, that his son would live. And he went on his way toward his son. Now, the man believes what Jesus said is true, but he doesn't believe Jesus is who he said he was. He just believes that his son is going to live. Alright? Now, I want you to hear this real carefully. Because the man has heard from Jesus that his son is alive. He knows what time Jesus said, and he begins his journey back toward his son. Now, along the way, he's thinking, well, I believe this has happened, that my son is going to live. I believe that Jesus is telling the truth. I believe he has healed him. I don't have a question about that. But what I do have a question about is, who is this Jesus? You understand, we have a lot of people around us that don't hear the same way. Some people got to get slapped on the face a few times by God and have some tough times that God brings them to in miraculous ways before they even remotely open to think that God is real. And some people can just receive the word of your testimony and be brought to Christ right then. And still others have to read the scripture, get it directly from a word from God, or they won't even believe your testimony. You see, God's word will get done what it's supposed to do, but it uses different ways for different people. If you want to say it this way, different strokes for different folks, right? The way I heard it was God's word. Some of them testified to me all day, and I'd get emotional, go, I want that, but I couldn't get it that way. When I hear someone talk about their testimony and what God has done to them, I get all emotional inside. I'm going, oh, I just would love that for me. But I heard testimony after testimony growing up, and that didn't get me there. So when God spoke to me in a still small voice when I was all by myself, that got me. I was the second kind of people. I've seen signs and wonders, and those didn't work with me. It was God's word to me that got me. Jesus said very clearly, there are certain ways for each person to get it. I know people who've heard testimonies of people, and right then and there, they give their heart to the Lord. I've seen people who've seen miracles happen, and right then and there, they said, there is a God, I love him, so I'm giving my life to him. And then I've seen people who heard the word of God and read it, or heard a sermon about Jesus, about the cross, and they gave their heart to the Lord. There is only one way for it to be received by us. But for each one of us, it's different. You would know what brought you, right? And just because it works for you doesn't mean it'll work for somebody else. I've told my testimony several times in the past, and I've seen a lot of people say, that's a really good story. Boy, that's really nice. I've heard other people say, I want that. But I've also seen people give their heart to the Lord because of it. The people who said, boy, that's a miraculous story. God is really doing a miracle there. You know, that's miraculous. Those folks plugged into the miracle part of it. Those folks who heard God speak His word out of Scripture to me said, plugged into that part. But those who connect with the experience that I have connected with that part. See? And when you give a testimony, or you're sharing with the Word of God with someone, if it works for somebody, it doesn't mean it's going to work for somebody else the same way. Don't give up. Try and give all three parts in what you share about the miraculous power of God, what He did that was a miracle, get His Word in there, and your experience of it. All three. Why? Because listen to the story of this man. He's the third kind. He's the hardest kind to reach. He heard Jesus teaching. He heard that Jesus said that your son is going to be healed, right? And so he takes Jesus at his word that his son is going to be healed. It does not mean that he knows it's true. But he takes it on faith that Jesus might be telling the truth, that he's done enough. And so when his son is healed, I love how this happens, is that he is meeting one of his servants met him and told him, your son is alive. He inquired of the hour, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, and the father knew that it was the same hour that Jesus said, your son shall live. And because his son was healed, because of the miracle, it says, he believed, just like Jesus said. Unless you see a sign or a wonder, you won't believe. How did Jesus know? I don't know. But he did, because he knows the hearts of men. And he knows our hearts. And he knows how we receive it. Remember Thomas? Thomas just couldn't receive the testimony of the disciples that Jesus was alive, could he? So he said, unless I experience it myself, and I put my hand inside and touch the sky of his head, I will not believe. You see, he didn't accept testimony. He had to see the miracles and go to the sewers. And when Jesus came and stood in the room and Thomas saw him, he knew it was Jesus. And he's excited. And Jesus comes to him and says, Thomas, and he said, yes, Jesus. He said, I don't think you believe in me. And Thomas says, well, I think you are him. He says, no, I don't think you believe in me. I want you to experience me. Thrust your hand into my side. Put your finger in my scars. Stop doubting and believe. We always find reason to doubt until we have concrete evidence that we accept. God works it out the right way for us. If you have to experience it, He's going to make sure you do. If you just receive a word of testimony, you're going to get a lot of testimonies in your life. But if you get it from the Word, God's going to make sure that you really get this.